You're listening to episode 26 of the podcast. Welcome back, everybody. I am super excited to have you back in this episode with us today. We are kickstarting 2020 with an absolute bang. We have such a great guest in today's episode. For those that didn't manage to catch the live stream, you are now going to be listening to one of the most esteemed Scottish streamers who is such an aggressively positive person. He is making things happen in 2020, and he's going to tell you how he's managed to kickstart his career and how he is doing so well for himself. All that and more, guys, coming right up.
You are listening to the Content Experience Podcast, the podcast for those wanting to learn more about all aspects of content creation and streaming. Each week we sit down with some of your favourite streamers to get to know the story behind the stream and what advice they would give to help build your dream career in content creation. All this with your host, taco lover, sci-fi geek and award-winning tap dancer, the Mike James.
So, yeah, welcome back, guys. This is the first guest of 2020. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
What's going on, everyone? I'm Bottom Frag, or Andy, as some people know me. I'm a Scottish content creator, and I try to spread as much positivity as I possibly can all across social media.
Spreading positivity is definitely an understatement. This guy is this. If you go to a dictionary or if you go to Google, just search positivity. It comes up with a picture of him. He's got such a great journey, and you're going to learn so much about Frag. So Frag, what do you prefer, Frag or Andy? What do you want?
Andy's fine. Andy's right. Perfectly fine.
All right. So you call me Mike. I'll call you Andy. It's like talking to my dad. It's going to be fine. why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about how you got into content creation? Was Twitch your first area, or was YouTube?
I had actually Twitch was my first area. I had done some research prior to starting streaming about Twitch because I wanted to make sure it was something I wanted to get into. And when I started, it was completely different to what it is now. I wanted to be a professional PUBG player. So Twitch was the route for me to take, and PUBG was on the rise. And I played that for maybe 8 hours a day at the time to try and stand out from the crowd and really show off my skills. Now that has completely changed, and it's more about meeting people. But back then it was definitely about the competitive side to it and not really about meeting other people, because I didn't think that was possible.
Yeah, I don't think PUBG aged very well, did it?
No, not really. Not as good as I thought.
So obviously, when was it that you decided to look into Twitch? Was this like a few years ago, a year ago, 3 years ago? How long ago was it?
This was about last summer. Last summer was when I kind of started into it to see what it was about. A few people had mentioned it, and I thought, if I'm going to dive myself into this, I usually like to get my knowledge up on something that I'm wanting to start. So I'd done that to see what I would want to do, and it looked something I'd be passionate about.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. I love, you know, you're like me, like very similar in terms of like when you get it into something, you read into it, you research about it, you find out all the like the strong points about it, the bad points about it, and definitely try and figure out what it is that's going to work on the platform and things. So, yeah. So obviously, when you were sort of researching a year and a half ago, because obviously myself, I've been on Twitch as a, you know, as a viewer and as a moderator since 2012. Mm. Yeah. So what did you know about Twitch before you started looking into it? Or was this like a new thing that you just came across and just started reading into?
I'd known about it, and the only reason I knew about it was because of Shroud. I watched a lot of YouTube, and because I was trying to get into the PUBG competitive scene, I was learning from Shroud when he had moved over to do that. So the only time I'd really seen Twitch was through his stream highlights, and that was what first initially got me into it. And when me and my friends talked about it, talked about doing like a duo kind of stream sort of thing, that was when we started researching about what Twitch was, and that's how I first found it.
That's pretty... It's weird when you're sort of not weird. Weird isn't the right word. But when you sort of hear people like say, "Oh yeah, well I found Twitch last year," because obviously Twitch has been ingrained in like my life and like so many other people's lives for like 7 or 8 years now. So when people only just learn about it, it's quite weird. But anyway, I'm not gonna linger on that. But even still, coming in from. 2000, like summer of 2018 or like early 2018, like, and getting where you are today is definitely a feat. It's definitely a pretty strong feat. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the journey that you've gone through so far as a streamer, because obviously you started out in a different area, right?
Yeah. It really has been a complete 180. You know, I started this to show off my competitive skills. I started this to just show to the world that and maybe build a brand up from that. But once I had started researching more, really delving myself into content and how to become better, I realized that this was more surrounded about the people. You know, it was about interacting with live interactivity. I always go back to people don't want to watch live interactivity. They'll go and watch YouTube. Twitch is somewhere I want to talk to people. I want to get to know real people who have the same interests as me and really find a diverse culture all through Twitch. Over that time, from maybe August when I started to December of last year, it was more focused on the competitive scene. I moved from PUBG to COD, still trying to do that competitiveness. And by the start of 2019, that was when I really moved into me building a foundation for a brand I want to sustain, and I want to find myself as a streamer and as a content creator. And finally, now at the start of 2020, I believe I've built that foundation and found who I want to be. And this year is definitely that is the goal to fully push that and find the person I've always wanted to be.
Like I said before we started recording as well, your journey has been super, super inspiring so far, and it's great. It's absolutely fantastic to see that you finally found, because I don't know about you, but I feel like not a lot of people find who they want to be so quickly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't find, you know, my passion in educating people and just inspiring people. I didn't find that passion until pretty much about summer last year, and I'd already been streaming like a year and a half by this point. So, and I was like you. I started out as that guy that was going to be like, I'm going to be the next Fortnite streamer. Hoorah. like Ninja. I'm going to trounce on Ninja, and I'm going to be the next funny Fortnite player. And then I tried playing Fortnite and I realized I wasn't funny at all. So I kind of was like, right, yeah, okay, so we're gonna go play marbles on stream now. I feel like not a lot of people discover who they want to be so quickly.
It can definitely take time. I think the constant search for it is important. We have to always look for that, and I think some people sometimes often get too comfortable in the situation they're in. I'm not saying that's the same thing as you, because everyone's story is different, you know, but I've met a lot of people who struggle to find themselves, and they do seem to be comfortable where they are. And that's a thing that I tend to point out an awful lot. The comfort zone is something you have to get out, and everything that has changed and the better for me was outside of my comfort zone last year. And that is what I try to focus on most. And that was how I found myself.
Yeah, and I mean, you also stepped out of your comfort zone in the same way that I did last year as well, in getting out and vlogging in public. So I've got a funny story, actually, because like you, I only just started vlogging in public, like literally in the last couple of months, and I went to Tesco. Now, unfortunately, I don't have like a small vlogging camera like you clearly do in the background. Instead, I have a very big chunky DSLR with a very large lens. That is not a euphemism either, by the way. It's a very heavy camera. And I walked into Tesco, and I was in Tesco for about half an hour with my mum, my dad, and my fiance, and my brother. And we were doing our Christmas shopping. And I basically got to about an hour and a half into doing this big Christmas shop around this huge store, and this guy comes up to me and he's like, "Sir, what are you doing with the camera?" And at this point, I just froze. I just panicked so hard, and I was like, "I'm just filming family vlog stuff, footage." And then he was like, And then he was like, you're not allowed cameras in here without notifying a manager. And then he was like phone cameras are fine, even though they record at the exact same or sometimes higher resolution than the DSLR that I've got. But anyway, I panicked and I was like, do you want me to delete the footage or what? And he was like, he sort of flustered at this point, which made me fluster more. So I ended up wiping my SD card in front of him just to make him happy. And then I was very sheepish. I sort of walked around the rest of the store with my tail between my legs.
Down in the ground.
Yeah, like with a lens cap on, pointing right down at the ground, just walking around. But yeah, that was not a defining moment for me. Especially for somebody that was trying to just get over that confidence, build that confidence in public blogging. I mean, how have you found it so far? Have you had any like mishaps, or am I just really unlucky?
Not as of yet. It's still nerve-wracking every time I do it. I think that's something that takes a little bit longer to do. It's just the same as using a camera for the first time on stream. I think it's something that you start to get a little bit more comfortable with over time. But just because you're in public and you're in the public eye, it tends to be a lot more nerve-wracking than just in your room by yourself with a camera facing you.
And I don't know about you, but I also feel like when I'm stood there, I feel like I start turning into the person that I think is judging me. So I start thinking like I'll get the camera out, point it at myself, and then I'll start thinking, oh my God, what is that weirdo doing talking to the camera? Even though I'm like, oh, I'm just recording a video. Like I went down to the beach in December to take a photograph, to frame it for a picture for a present. And I was on the beach at like 7 o'clock in the morning. It was a cold December morning, pitch black. There was like one other person about half a mile down the beach. But I was like, yeah, I won't start just yet. I'll wait for him to pass so there's nobody here before I pick the camera up and start talking to it on the beach at 7 o'clock in the morning. But that actually brings me on to the next point that I wanted to talk to you about, because obviously you've been building up a lot of skills like me over the past couple of months to get into developing your content creation career and get into helping other people. And you've just launched a new brand, right?
For the Streamer Hub.
Yeah, the Streamer Hub, yeah.
Yeah, that was the website that took 11 months for me to build. It was something I knew I always wanted to do in a space on the platform I always seen missing, even when I'd first started. When I'd done my research, I knew that, yes, some of the information was good, but a lot of it seemed to come from people who hadn't actually had the experience of streaming. When I had done the research that we were talking about prior to me starting on Twitch, when I looked back on that and as I was making the website, I realized that a lot of it was horrendous tips and really not anything from any streamer would really give if they had actually done it for prolonged periods of time. And I wanted to be that difference and give someone a place where they could just go educate themselves from an actual streamer who has went through all of the ups and downs that a streamer has and really tried to learn a lot of content from a variety of places.
And I think it's absolutely fantastic. And I mean, the YouTube as well. I mean, what's your vision like for the YouTube? Like, are you wanting to get into like kind of the route of Harris Heller, or have you got different ideas for the way you're going to progress the YouTube?
Harris was definitely an inspiration, as the same as Ashley Christ was. They were both inspirations for the educational content that I wanted to pursue as well. I do have some other ideas that I'm wanting to bring to the YouTube to stand out from the crowd, because I do believe that's important. You know, we should never copy people exactly. We have to use others' content to our advantage and mesh that into our own brand to really make it our brand. So I'm definitely working on a lot of other stuff to make me stand out from the YouTube crowd. But it's definitely an inspiration, both of them, to start that and really bring out more educational content.
All right, so I want to talk, if it's all right with you, I want to talk a little bit about like the information, going back on ourselves a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
I want to talk a little bit about the information that you researched on Twitch. And like, if you can recite any of the important bits that stuck out to you and that you still utilize to this day to help grow your channel.
And you're meaning from when I first started?
Yeah, from when you first started.
In all honesty, the only thing that I can remember that stands out to the crowd for me was that the term networking was really about making friends. I hadn't really thought about anything else for a long period of time because a lot of it was about streaming very long periods of time, streaming every day, and not really utilizing all the tips that I now utilize. Networking equaling friendships was definitely the thing that stuck out and what I have moved on to for the past 6 or 7 months now.
Yeah, networking has been one of those words for me, which has been a little bit weird. And I don't know if you agree with this, because you don't have to by any means. Mm-hmm. But what I've found over the course of the last 2 years of streaming is that networking kind of implies that people are kind of looking for a mutually beneficial friendship. So people are like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to go out there and network today, which, like, for example, let's take me and you. I was going out there to network. I'd maybe go into your stream, say hi, follow you, and then follow you up on social media, start interacting with you, and then wait for you to sort of do the same to me. But then if you didn't, then I'd kind of move on to the next person and kind of do that until I've got enough people that are returning the favor. And that's kind of how I started to perceive networking. So I kind of tried to move away from the term networking and start use the term making connections instead, because to me that kind of implies a more emotional interaction with different people. You're connecting with people on a personal level. It kind of gets beyond that sort of networking fiasco. But I mean, that's just me. I don't know if you feel the same way. But
no, I've always hated the term networking. I don't think it's a good term because it has a lot more of a businessy feel when I never think it should have been. And that's exactly why when I talk about it on the website, I make sure that it's not networking that I call it, it's friendships. I really do believe, and I've moved away from that. And I used to do the same as you. I used to like spend a day where I was like networking, trying to meet new people, trying to make those connections. And not all of them were ones that were good intentions. You know, sometimes I was looking for the back and forth and I didn't get it sometimes. And I was wondering why. Over the course of the months, you do start to realize that you should never really be doing that. And that is not what is going to make you stand out from the crowd. What is going to make you stand out is your content, your drive to do better and be a better person than you were yesterday. Not because you want to interact with 50 people in the one day.
Yeah. And just sort of bringing into something that's just caught my eye in the Twitch chat whilst we're streaming this is somebody sort of mentioning that networking only goes so far. I actually believe that networking does only go so far, and then you have to start letting, I always say that you have to start letting the content do the talking. And by that I mean that in both the literal and metaphorical sense, like literally in terms of the content needs to be good enough to start drawing people in, but also the content needs to start doing the talking, where people are taking your content and retweeting it and talking about it and messaging other people about it. And that's when you know that you're starting to produce good content, like our good friend Frag here that gets retweeted for days. And everybody seems to love that guy. And it's, I mean, to be fair, I love you as well. And I love your accent as well. I'm sure you get that far too often as well. I actually was in your stream the other day. Was it yesterday, I think, when you were talking about not knowing a lot of Scottish streamers, but you've started to notice a few more of them. And then it got me thinking about all of the Scottish streamers that I know. And apart from you, I know Shoxy. And I know there's one other whose name I can't remember because I'm dreadful with names. But that's about it. I don't really know any other Scottish streamers. But yeah, I sort of talking on the accent, I have to be careful because obviously I don't want to upset you or I don't want to upset everyone else. But I just can't help it, right? Ashley and I love going to Scotland. And every time we go to Scotland, we always come away from Scotland and I always try and do a Scottish accent. It's dreadful, but it stems from, I went to Ireland and for the entire trip, I was meeting my family. We were going there for a wedding. Whenever I met another family member that wasn't Irish, I'd go, top of the morning to you. And like my mum and dad said, Mike, whatever you do, do not say that to an Irish person because they will be really upset with you. So I got it in my head. I was like, right, don't say that to an Irish person. And then I got into a taxi at the very end of the holiday. We were heading to the airport, and then I got into the taxi, and there was an Irish driver in there, and he was like, and I got in, and the first thing I did without thinking, I just got in, and I went, top of the morning to you. And he went, and oh my God, my family still laughs at me to this day. And basically, he was sat there, and he was like, that's a I'm not even going to try and do his accent, but he was like, that's a very deep South accent you've done there. And you could just tell the hatred in his voice for me, for poor 12-year-old me that had just offended this great bulky Irish man. Yeah.
So. You got the whole holiday as well. The whole holiday you done it. Missed out, told yourself not to do it, and the final hurdle.
The final hurdle. But yeah, it's just every time somebody says, like even when I go to Scotland, I can't help but say Scotland. I just can't help it. It's like a natural instinct for me. I think it's just part of being British. We just have to say Scotland as if we're Scottish, even though it probably sounds dreadful to anybody from Scotland.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad.
But yeah, anyway, before we get sidetracked on the slight Scottish, probably borderline racism, we'll get back to talking about content creation. So tell us a little bit about the future of where you want to take all of your content. Like, where do you see yourself? Let's go really far in the future. Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time with all of this?
Tough question for sure. 1 year is hard enough. 5 years is even more. Definitely in 5 years, I want this to be my full-time career. I know that is a little bit of a vague statement, but I want to be able to sustain myself financially and also continuing to make the best content that I possibly can. I would love to have my sort of own panel or show in the future. That could be with like a podcast or that could be with a talk show or anything like that. I think that would be fantastic. And I really want to make an avenue for positivity. Today, I actually announced a segment on the stream that I'm going to be doing about positivity and sharing positivity and those who try to do it.
Sit down Sundays, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I would love to, I would really love to take that as far as I possibly can, because I really do believe social media and the news and positivity, I mean, that's where everyone seems to always go. I would love to be an outlet and a change to make a difference, someone who wants to make that difference, and hopefully others follow along.
Yeah, it's the news is just irritating at the moment. It's like one of those things where it's kind of like a good example is just before the re-election in the UK last year, there was always a running joke in our house where you'd hear the BBC tune come on, it'd be like duh, 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 duh. And then as it's doing that, we'd be like, in the news, Brexit, more Brexit, bad news and more Brexit.
All the time. It's constant.
It is. It's horrible in the news at the moment. And then you've got the US and the dreadful fires in Australia as well. I mean,
poor. It's just terrible, it really is.
Yeah. But no, I definitely want to see your positivity spread even further. And that's kind of why I really wanted to get you on to talk about it, you know, to try and spread awareness so that other people in the chat right now might go and follow your channel and, you know, catch up with the Sunday, you know, the Sunday talks and things. And you could even turn that into its own brand, you know, Sitting Down Sunday. You could turn that into a podcast and just literally just take the audio, convert it to, you know, record it in OBS as well as stream it, convert it to an MP3, whack on some fancy music, put it on something like anchor.fm, which then distributes it to iTunes and Spotify and everything like that. And then all of a sudden you've got a completely separate positive inspiring talk show and stream, and you could expand on that side if you really wanted to.
Sure.
But yeah, you've definitely got a good avenue in positivity. Like I was listening to your stream the other day, yesterday, and just hearing like everybody coming at your stream, and you were like, hey, how are you doing? I haven't seen you for like freaking ages, and just like asking them how they are. And I don't think you use freaking, to be honest, but but you were like, oh, you know, welcoming, like just so enthusiastic and so passionate about about finding out about other people, and then you were sort of talking to me, you were asking me about my day, and then I told you that I was watching The Lion King, and we had a small brief natter about The Lion King, which was quite fun. But quick question, by the way, do you prefer the animation or do you prefer the live action film?
Animation, for sure.
Good lad, good lad. But yeah, like, just your entire passion and everything for sharing positivity and things. And yeah, you also mentioned, I know you briefly mentioned it in the podcast as well, about taking your content more just chatting focused as well. I mean, do you want to tell us, I know you've told us a little bit already, but do you want to try and tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen some of the statistics that have been happening, but just chatting has now grown 40% more than every other category within Twitch. Just chatting is something I've always wanted to pursue further, but I always felt that when you were doing it, I was never really focused on an area, hence why I'm wanting to bring out these new segments. I mean, Sit Down Sundays is the first one. I'm going to be talking about Hype Unit and another one for anyone who has questions about the stream team. And then I also want to start one where it's called Creative Critique, where people can send in their applications for their streams, and I'll go through all of their socials and all their streams, and I'll try and give the best advice that I possibly can, whilst also having chat help me. I think it's a good way to educate all streamers within the stream, so that it's not just one person targeted. Everyone can learn from everyone. And it's a good way for me to then focus on segments rather than just me talking for no real reason.
Yeah, and I've done something similar in the past, and I definitely can't wait to see all that. And we are going to talk a little bit about the stream team in a minute, because I know that you've just taken up quite a big role in there. But whilst we're talking about you and like educating other people and doing different things, I want to just sort of keep on that subject for a short while. What do you enjoy most about educating other people?
I think it's the feeling that you and your information is genuinely valuable. As we were speaking about, when I had done my research and the things that I'm now taking on today, it's very, very little of it. And whenever I read that and whenever I started to learn myself, it was a nice feeling knowing that what I was saying was actually making an impact, was actually valuable information that people could use for their own streams or their own content. And I've seen it firsthand. You know, when I've told people to, or given advice or the best advice that I can, I've seen a change in them. I've seen a change in their content. I think that's the nicest feeling, knowing that what you're doing is actually making an impact. And again, the reason about positivity, knowing you're actually making a positive impact on the world.
Yeah. I'm speechless, because it's just, I think it's just because I'm a big fan of doing exactly, you know, similar things to what you're doing. I'm just a big fan of what you do as well. So it's every time you say something, it's just like, give the man a medal. But yeah, it's great. It's like, you're the sort of content creator that people need to just give a big hug to and then never let go, but not too tight to where you suffocate, but where it's just loose enough to be just a nice enough. Good hug. Yeah. Because there's not many content creators that actually care about other people around at the moment. And there's just, I tell you what, you know, I don't want to delve into it too deeply, but even we were talking about like the news being bad, even the whole streamerverse at the moment, it seems to be in chaos. So it's kind of like, I'm going to play out a scenario for anybody listening right now, and I'm going to try and paint Frag in the perfect scene. So you can imagine there's a battlefield, and it's chaos, and everybody's dying, and there's a good side and a bad side. The good side is like good content creators. The bad side is like all the trolls and all the content creators that are out there to just cause chaos. And there's this big huge battle, and then all of a sudden Frag is like the paladin. He I don't know if anybody's seen the World of Warcraft cinematic, but he just like throws his sword in the air, just a big beam of light just shoots out in all directions, just completely destroys all the negativity, and he's like, enough, and sticks his sword in the ground. He's like, And he just gets close to the microphone. And he's like, "We're going to be positive now." Oh, that was terrible. I really built myself up for that. Oh, hold on. Can you just say the line? "We're going to be positive now."
"We're going to be positive now."
"We're going to be positive now." Ah, close enough. Close enough. But yeah, that is the painted scene of which is bottom frag. So yeah, moving on to the stream team. Now, I'm actually really intrigued to ask you about this, and I know there's quite a few people that are probably going to be listening to this that are also quite intrigued. First of all, I'm going to ask a bit of a daft question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What is Hype?
Hype is an organization. I believe we've been around for quite a few years, but more so reinvented themselves back in the start of 2018, if I'm not mistaken. We've now moved into a ton of different avenues, having one of the best Smite teams in the world. We have a few professional teams and other different scenes, and are always looking to do that. We now have a stream team, which I'm the lead of, and we're also building a personality based team. That is the likes. They have all been announced. That's fine. That's the likes of Nerds, Violet, Play with Jambo, and Sedi, all three being a part of the personality based team. It's definitely a family. You know, a lot of people think that these organizations, there's the top people who don't talk to the people who are like streamers or the content creators, but seriously, like every single day we are all talking to one another. The executives are talking to us. Even when I was a streamer, the executives were talking to me all the time. I could have an easy conversation, and I think that's what really makes Hype.
So is it an actual, is it like a stream team and also like a pro team, or is it or is it just across the board? Like, because obviously I know when I first saw Hype emerge was kind of when Stally was talking about it, and I couldn't tell. Obviously, this is me admitting to not doing my research, but I couldn't tell if it was like an actual stream team that was starting to, you know, that was built for streamers. And it was just like, you know, it was like kind of like one of those teams where all the streamers get in on it. But I didn't know if it was like one of them or if it was an actual pro team. But it sounds like
it's an actual organization. Yeah. So we've just got a variety of avenues. I don't know what game we started in initially, but I know we moved into a lot of different avenues and are doing so this year as well.
That's cool. Yeah, I saw Stally talk about, can't remember the name now, is it? Something, not Kharkov. What is it?
I don't actually know.
I can't remember.
Escape from Tarkov.
Yeah, that's it. I was trying to think. I was like Kharkov, Tarkov, Escape. Yeah. I saw that. Obviously, that's rising quite fast at the moment.
Definitely.
So
yeah.
I know that there's talk of trying to get some of those creators on board. But yeah. It's. I mean, I think that side of things, in terms of like, I think that's been the most obvious for the streamers on Twitter. I think the most obvious thing that stood out is the stream team that's sort of suddenly popped up. I mean, I know you said Hype's been around for a while, and I feel like Hype has really sort of blown up since it's sort of moved into the streamer scene of starting to get streamers on board, because obviously Stally was brought on board, and then obviously I saw Nerd Violet and Jambo. I didn't actually know Sedi was brought on board, which is kind of cool. Most people in here know Sedi because half of the chat watch, half of the people watching the stream watch Sedi as well, or they or they've seen him on the podcast in the past. So, what is your role in Hype then? What is your exact role in that organization?
I am the stream lead of the streamers for Hype. That's the exact role.
So are you the person that is like that gives the final go ahead on the streamers that join?
Yeah. So I'll be choosing the streamers that join. Stallion is more focused on the personality based ones. So with Violet, Jambo, and Sedi, I'm more focused on the streamers side of it. I'm the one who will be picking those out for the future, and I've already got my eyes on a few people.
So do I have to slip you a fiver now, or should I do it or should I do it after the show? Like, what are we talking here?
Can't disclose anything just yet, but hopefully it's going to come to fruition soon.
All right, what he's saying is I need to slip him a tenner, not a fiver. So I'll do that after the show anyway. But yeah, I mean, why don't we talk a little bit now about the sort of advice that you would give to people that are trying to get into streaming? Because obviously, in fact, no, let's skip that bit, because I'm sure you'd agree with me, when somebody first starts streaming, the best sort of advice to give that person is to just sort of get on and do it and just enjoy
just
it.
Do it. Uh-huh.
Because if you start worrying about the business side of things too early on, then you'll burn out because you realize you're not getting anywhere. So just forget about that for now. But like, what is the advice that you find yourself giving to people the most?
I think what a lot of people ask me is how I can keep remaining positive so much. Or the other one is how I can maintain so many different conversations at the one time. For both of those, the positivity one is a little bit harder, because people don't realize positivity is actually a mindset. Positivity is something that you have to work towards, and it's not something that you just wake up one day and it's like, yep, you know what, I'm positive from now on, because it doesn't happen like that. It takes a long period of time to kind of work on that, become more positive, and start looking at the positives in life, because we really only do have this one opportunity to make an impact, to be the person we want to be. And that's something that I tell quite a lot of people. A lot of people are negative in this world, but we can all change. We can all be a better person. We just have to make that choice to then take that next step to do so. With the one of keeping up with conversations, my best advice ever, and something that I really pride myself on, is open-ended questions. That is what keeps interactivity alive. That is what makes your chat interactive. And that's what makes people want to talk. When I streamed in last year, I remember I looked at my statistics. From August to December, I averaged 9.6 viewers. And that would obviously be at points where the chat would have been a little bit more quiet, or there wouldn't have been any chat at all. I spent hours talking to myself constantly, asking open-ended questions to nobody, talking about what's in the game, why I'm doing the game, what I'm going to be doing at the weekend, to no one. And that is what helped me build up over this time to becoming better. But open-ended questions are the key to interactivity, and more people need to understand that.
So just in case there is anybody out there that doesn't quite understand, can you give us an example of an open-ended question?
What is the most memorable holiday you have been on?
Well, thank you for asking. The most memorable holiday that I've actually had. Now, funnily enough, it was when I went to Ireland to a wedding, and I went. but yeah, I mean, I wish I could just become somebody that was like, you know, when you just wish you had the power to sort of shout somebody out, and then that person just instantly becomes like successful. Because I'd definitely do that in your direction, because you definitely 100% deserve that. I mean, obviously, with you focusing more and more on just chatting and you know, inspiring positivity, are you still going to be playing any sort of games on your stream?
I have actually got Star Wars, and I recently purchased that to play on the stream. At some points when playing a game, it's good to change up now and then if you like it. And I'm a huge fan of Star Wars, so me playing that game just gets me so excited as well. I do play it on occasion, maybe like once a week on stream, but most of the time I just love talking to people, and when there's people in the chat I want to talk to, I'm more than happy to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel you on that. I'm definitely similar. I am sort of edging more towards just chatting stuff, but I kind of, me personally, and you know, for anybody out there that might be intimidated by just chatting for hours on end, me personally, I find it difficult to do just chatting for long periods of time, because I'm a sort of person where if I feel like I'm running out of things to say, then I'll start repeating myself, and I'll start like going back. So for example, I'll start up the stream, and then I'll start up and just chatting, and I'll be like, right, so this is what happened last year, this is what's going to be happening in the future, this is how I feel, this is what's, you know, this is what we're working on, And then all of a sudden there'll be people in chat and I'll talk to them. But then, you know, we'll get to the point of the conversation where I've got over the hellos and how you're doing and what you're up to. And then we end up back on the main topic of what we're talking about. And I've found that because I also talk quite fast as well when I'm talking about things, is we get to about an hour and a half into the stream and I start punching microphones, apparently. We get an hour and a half into the stream and I'm like, I find myself just completely finished of things to say. So that's probably the time when you'd move into open-ended questions, but you've kind of got to, you, like what you said earlier, going back to it about having a theme, you kind of don't want to make your just chatting streams too disjointed with topics, because then you just end up with, like, never mind like one or two different streams of conversations of different things. You end up with like talking about 800 different things and, you know, that is, it's a skill that you've got to build on for sure, but it's not, like you said, it a bit like positivity being a mindset, the skill of being able to uphold conversation and uphold multiple conversations is one which is developed over a period of time. It's not just, you don't just wake up one day and it's like, I am now a pro streamer. I can I can continue 18 different topics all at once. Fire away, chat. And it's like, yeah, that just doesn't happen. It's like something you've got to build on.
That's interesting.
But I mean, I'm sure you understand the point that I'm getting out there. I'm just trying to think now, like looking back on your journey, if there's anything that I could sort of exaggerate on for the audience. And I mean, we've kind of exaggerated a lot of the points already, because I mean, one of the main things that I wanted to share with the audience about you today was, you know, was your ability to educate others and stay positive all the time. But I tell you what, actually, let's go back a little bit to your journey as a streamer. Because you mentioned that in sort of like September to December, or that sort of time frame last year, of 2018, you were kind of was it last year or 2018? I can't remember, but you were sort of saying about how you were at around about an average of 9 viewers. And obviously now, I mean, I don't know your exact averages, but I've seen you sit around about 30 to 40 viewers. Obviously, I don't want to, you know, I don't know if you're comfortable with numbers or not, so I don't really want to pin you to numbers. But I just wanted to sort of get a bit more of an insight from you personally about how you got past that average of 10 viewers and how you started building yourself up to the sort of double digits in the 20s and the 30s and things.
I think it's important to go back on the point we spoke about, that content has to start talking for itself eventually. You know, I was really, really big on network, and at that time especially, and I was trying to network all the time, every day I could, meeting new people. But what you've got to realize is that's one person you're networking with. You know, if you're bringing out content consistently and good, unique content, you are catering to hundreds of people at the one time, maybe even thousands if it gets big enough. There's a lot more opportunity to meet those who really want to see your content if you continue to do that. And I believe that's what helped me when I finally realized that content over networking was the way forward.
And I feel like I'm going to mention a tool that we both use, but I think it's worth talking a little bit about, because Frag mentioned something quite important there about catering your content, not to the single person, but to the masses. Because I think you've hit the nail on the head about what a lot of smaller content creators do, is they try and cater their tweets and their content to one or two people, or not tweets, but they just try and approach one person and convince one or two people with their content to come and watch them. But you've just mentioned there something which I think is probably worth talking about, actually, and that's catering to the masses. And one of the best ways to do that for a streamer outside of YouTube is Twitter. And I mean, in fact, I'll let you tell people how big Twitter has been for you, because I think Twitter for you is actually a lot bigger than it is for me, and I'll explain a little bit about that in a moment. But why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about how important Twitter is for you?
Social media as a whole, that can be Twitter or Instagram, whatever you really prefer, is so, so important. People are really lazy. All of us are. It doesn't matter who you are, we're all really lazy. So if we someone who goes live that we haven't really talked to before, we can't be bothered clicking on that link to go over to your stream and then watch you. So Twitter is an outlet for people who are scrolling through all day to see your tweets, your videos, any content you can produce. And that's why it's so important to take your stream over to social media and display who you are. So that means everyone who can't be bothered going onto your name, clicking on your stream and waiting for you going live can see, hey, you know what? I like that streamer. So then they will drop the follow on Twitch, find you when you're live, and then see who you are because they already have an insight to your personality.
Yeah, you couldn't have summed that up better, to be honest. One of the biggest, like Frag said, one of the biggest ways is 100%. I mean, you mentioned there something that I have to disagree with slightly is Instagram. I actually, I mean, I don't preach this, but I personally feel that Instagram is a dying format for, well, in general, never mind for the streamers. I feel like Instagram is working for the streamers that are able to put in the effort to create a consistent, nice-looking feed, whether that be if you've got a very good physical appearance or if you've got just a generally good skill in photography and you're able to take strong pictures of, like, different... Like, I know there's one streamer that takes pictures of, like, the box of the game that they're playing and they dress it up with certain colors and they set dress it and they make it look nice. Uh-huh. And then when you scroll through the Instagram feed, it's all sort of similar colors and it looks all nice and professional. But outside of that, I actually believe Instagram is kind of dying as a whole. So typically I actually tend to sort of just say, if anybody asks me about social media, I say to just sort of focus more on Twitter at the moment, because I personally don't think Instagram is the strongest, because I'm trying to, the way that I'm going about it is trying to look at it from a time investment point of view. So if you're investing, say, 7 hours a day into Instagram, my argument is that that 7 hours investment in Instagram would be way better suited on Twitter, and you'd get a lot better return for investing that time into Twitter rather than Instagram. So that's kind of my argument on the whole thing, and that's kind of why I said I sort of disagree a little bit. But I know that it is still a social media platform, so if you want to use it, then go ahead personally. But, you know, that's just my personal view on it. But
I think it depends on the the target audience that you have. You know, as you said, those people who have targeted feeds for Instagram can succeed massively. And I've actually got a few friends who do that. I thought the same as you. I thought the same. Instagram wasn't a way for me to get people to come to my stream. But I've realized now that if you do dedicate a little bit of the time to really figuring out your brand for that, just as the same as Twitter, then you can really start to get people coming into your stream. Yes, I know Twitter's a lot easier because all you need to do, I mean, you don't have to, but all you need to do is write a few thoughts if you want, and that can get out there. Instagram does take a little more time to find who you want to be, but I do believe anyone can be successful on any platform if they put in the time driven enough to develop the content they want to see.
I mean, fair is fair. I might have to check you out on Instagram and just see what sort of stuff you're posting and subtly take inspiration, I think, is the term streamers use for pretty much just copying. But yeah, I've never been 100% on Instagram, which is weird considering I'm a photographer. Mm-hmm. I've never really found, because the problem is I get salty with Instagram because of the amount of bots and things on it, and the amount of apps that people are using just to mass post in comments and like other people's pictures, and it just feels dead when you're like, I actually did try and pursue Instagram for a short period of time, and I was uploading a picture every single day, and I was giving it a well thought out caption, and I was going through all of the hashtags and liking and commenting, and I just wasn't growing, and I realized that, you know, after spending like 2 or 3 hours a day trying to grow on Instagram just to get one or two followers, was probably better off me going on Twitter. And but that's just me, I suppose. At the end of the day, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite. You kind of just got to see what works for you, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you got to see what works for you and your brand and what you want to dedicate the time for.
So if you are, if you are, just give Twitter a try, I suppose. If you listen, it's not Twitter, sorry, Instagram. Just give it a try. You never know what might work, what might not work. Just going back to Twitter real quick, because obviously, Twitter is kind of like my main platform. So I kind of want to just talk a little bit more about it. Mm-hmm. What's your best advice for gaining traction on? I won't say tweets, because sharing certain thoughts and things can always gain traction. But what's your tactics when it comes to sharing clips and things on Twitter? What's your tactics there?
It's always about taking that extra step. Again, we spoke about people being lazy, and we are, as streamers and people who run social media, we're often lazy most of the time. So people will just take their clip from Twitch and put it onto to Twitter. And that means people need to click on it and then watch it. Instead, I'll take the extra step in downloading the clip, editing it a little bit in Premiere Pro that takes me 15 minutes, and it looks a lot more professional, is a lot more entertaining than just a clip on its own, by making a few zooms or a few captions here and there. It's the slight things that make the big difference.
That in itself can really excel your content forward. I mean, I made a video about 6 months ago. It's terribly titled. I should probably remake it or retitle it at least. About downloading clips on your mobile and using an app. There's an app called that. My phone's on charge, so I can't look at it. It's called OneShot, I think, on Android. And I think it's on iPhones as well. But if you go to the browser and go to the Twitch website on the browser, and then you press the dots and then you view it as desktop, so you can get the desktop website on your mobile and then go to the clips, the clip section for your channel. If you press the share button, a little download button pops up so you can download the clips directly to your phone. And then you can use an app like OneShot to basically just do like a basic edit, and then you can add captions to it. And I always find that's a fantastic step to do to clips. Yeah. You can add like a title, and then you can just add like audio captions as people speak. And because, like you said, people are lazy, and when people are scrolling through the timeline, not everybody is going to want to turn on the audio to find out what the clip is about. So if you can grab their attention with like a really catchy title, it might not be the title, it might be the captions. If you say something like super crazy, you never know what you might find, you know, getting into that sort of, you know, that sort of area. And I just want to pause quickly because apparently muting my alerts once again has not worked. So we have received a subscriber, and I get a lot of complaints about this on the podcast. So I'm very sorry. So I'm probably going to edit this part out. But thank you for that sub. I really appreciate it. Don't do it again. I'm joking. Thank you for that, Miss Watson. I'm going to have to. There we are. I added a bit of a pause so that when I go and edit it later on, I know exactly where it is. I think that's kind of... Is there anything that you feel that you haven't covered that you expected to cover tonight?
No, I think you covered everything really well. I think we had a lot of points that were needed to be hit, and I had a great time.
Oh, I'm glad you had a great time, because one of my biggest things is that, you know, that I'm trying to focus on is the guest having the best time of their life. And I was a little bit worried with the Scottish impressions there. I thought I might have watched you a little bit on that one. So I'm probably going to be getting a few angry messages after this, especially given how the streamer climate is on Twitter. Probably get a few angry messages. I am offended by your bad interpretation of our accent. But yeah, I just love you, Frag. You're an absolutely amazing guy. And I love the fact that you've come on and shared your journey with us so far. I definitely look forward to getting you back. Judging by the time frame, it'll probably be next week to celebrate you getting partnered or something, because you're definitely moving on up there. You're definitely doing well.
Appreciate that.
So, I mean, I'll let you go ahead and shout out all of your links and your social medias and, you know, where people can find you and when people can find you, you know, shout out when you'll be live on Twitch. So take it away, the world's your oyster, Frag.
I do stream on Tuesdays, Thursdays and Sundays. Tuesdays and Thursdays being at 3 p.m. GMT and Sundays at 1 p.m. GMT. You can also find me on Twitter at twitter.com/bottomfrag if you do want to go and check it out.
And I do recommend that you go and check it out, by the way. All right, thank you so much, Frag, for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
You are listening to the Content Experience Podcast, the podcast for those wanting to learn more about all aspects of content creation and streaming. Each week we sit down with some of your favorite streamers to get to know the story behind the stream and what advice they would give to help build your dream career in content creation. All this with your host, taco lover, sci-fi geek, and award-winning tap dancer, the Mike James.
Thank you for listening to episode 26 of the podcast, guys. If you haven't listened to any of the other episodes, definitely go back to the beginning and listen to them all. Every guest brings something unique to the table. There's always something to be learned from every single guest that you listen to on this podcast. So make sure you go back and listen to it, guys. And thank you once again for listening to this particular episode. I really appreciate it, guys. I am definitely kickstarting 2020. Looking forward to just improving everything, making everything 10 times better. And I can only do that with your feedback, guys. So make sure you hit me up on Instagram, on Twitter at It's The Mike James. Just drop me a message, let me know how we could improve the content, and if you have any ideas for people that you would love to hear on this show, then don't forget to get in touch and let me know, and I'll try and make that happen as much as I possibly can. We may potentially have a super exciting guest in the next couple of weeks, guys, so definitely keep your eyes open if you want to grow your YouTube to 100,000 subscribers, because you will be learning exactly how to do that in the coming weeks. So thank you for listening, guys, and have a wonderful day, and just keep on hustling, friends.